Blog Talk Radio.
Told us that Farad Muhammad came, as it is written of him, without observation, as a thief in the night, and that he was in fact the long-awaited Son of Man that would come from the east to the west to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the black man and black woman of America were and are the lost member of the aboriginal nation of our planet from the tribe of Shabazz. This man, Master Farad Muhammad, pointed out to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a dreadful looking plane in the sky, a human built planet on which were 1,500 little planes that were up there in fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision that you find in the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter from the first to the 28th verses. When you go home, you read now. This is a scholarly teaching today. You must read, you must study, because every word that I say, you will meet it shortly. Ezekiel had a vision of a wheel within a wheel, a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Farad Muhammad taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 3 years and 4 months, night and day, and then left him with the mission and the burden of raising the black man and woman of America up from a dead level to a living perpendicular. And his work is called in the scriptures of the Quran and Bible, the resurrection of the dead. Not the dead in the cemeteries or the graveyards of America and the world, but a people that have eyes but cannot see, have ears but cannot hear, have tongues but they cannot speak, of people that have been killed mentally, morally, spiritually, politically, economically, and otherwise. His mission was to raise this people up and place them back where they once were, on top of civilization, which we have not been for 50,000 years. He pointed out a blue and a red star that signifies complete and universal change, a star that only appears once every 50,000 years. We are in the midst of it now, a complete universal change. The world wants change. The world needs change. But the change that the world needs cannot be brought about by any politician of this world. This is a change to be brought about by God Himself.
Look at this. This is in Japanese, but this is the way he saw the plane. He said it was 1.5 to 2 times larger in size than the largest aircraft carrier. And the largest aircraft carrier is 1/4 mile long. So if it's 2 times that, it's 1/2 mile. Now think about this, 1/2 mile and 1/2 mile. And in it are 50,000 1,500 bombing planes. Now we get to the meat of this. On those planes, each plane, 1,500 of them, have three bombs. The wheel has two natures. When those bombs are cut loose, when they hit the earth, there's a drill. It'll go down into the earth 1 mile and bring up a mountain 1 mile high, destroying everything in a 50 square mile radius.
That's correct.
Those planes know everything about your military installations. You've caught them over all the military installations, not only here, but in England, in France, in Germany, in Russia, in China, in India. You want to know where they come from? You want to give the credit to somebody from outer space? Hell no. It ain't no outer space. You are a baby, white folks, in your knowledge, listen, of science. We only gave you one book of higher mathematics, and you've built a great world. But there are 59,999 more. So that's why your scientists said they are faster than our technology by a million years. They're made from here. The finest steel. Oh, man. They fly at speed. They clock them at 9,000 and more. Those people are the angels. They're up there. They know what you think. And before you can execute, they know it. These are the people from God. Now, they ask, why is the government keeping it a secret? They kept asking that over and over this morning. Well, let me tell you. L. Ron Hubbard, in his book on radiation, said, whenever there's a weapon that a nation has no defense against, that nation's sovereignty is threatened. Because it is the duty of every nation to protect its citizens. So when America developed the hydrogen bomb, the atom bomb, and this high technology weaponry, and Russia did, both of them made all the smaller nations feel frightened. And so each of them had a camp. Russian in the camp of Russia, in the camp of America, right? That weapon it is so powerful. The angels on that human-built planet know how to make a wall out of air. And that's why the Bible said, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. They can wall in America, where you can't come in or go out, and cut a shortage in gravity and start a fire coming all the way down. Look, you've been talking about fire next time? Well, hey, then. You didn't think that God was true to his own word? These people have no weapon to fight God?
None!
None. There's sound on that wheel that can cause buildings to come down. That wheel has been up there since 1950.
29, and it has bothered nobody.
There's another part to that wheel.
Yeah.
The New Jerusalem. A toxic planet with toxic air, toxic water, toxic earth up there.
Okay, I think that was the end of the clip. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Son of Man. And I'm going to leave it just like that. What a beautiful lecture we had from him today. And, of course, Savior's Day message, which Brother Reginald is going to expound on further. And it is my great honor and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And without further ado, there's no need to introduce this dear brother. I am just simply going to present my co-host on Thursday, and of course the host of this show, a brother who always saying that he's new to Islam, but when he opens his mouth, I beg to differ. I don't know anyone who is more dedicated to absorbing and studying the messenger and the ministers teachings as much as this brother, and so we thank Allah for him being a part of this network, and I just thank Allah for him being a brother. So here we go, Brother Reginald X. Wynn. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you doing tonight? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We hear you perfectly, and I'm well by Allah's
all
grace.
All right. All praises be to Allah for that wonderful introduction, and I can't thank Allah enough. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who intervened in our affairs, the black man and woman in the United Snakes of the wilderness of North America, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And I further thank Almighty God Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad for raising one among us, the exalted Christ, his Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I further thank Almighty God Allah for allowing the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to leave with us as a mercy, the man who we have worked tirelessly and we have not fully reciprocated his work, his effort, and his dedication and commitment to elevating and resurrecting the black man and woman in America. And I speak none other than this divine warner, teacher, guide, and praiseworthy and worthy of much praise, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their three names that I greet all of you in the listening audience, my beautiful and beloved panelists, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad, my other beloved brother, Kareem Muhammad. I greet all of you, and especially you, beloved Sister Queen, Goddess, and Princess, Sister Aziza Muhammad, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Shalom and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam, brother. Well, it is a joy to be alive, but at the same time, it is a pain to see the suffering, the continued suffering of our people. And it is with that response and the response that we have for what the minister gave us today as spiritual food and guidance that I decided to swerve my theology and the educational paradigm portion of the show towards the Valley of the Dry Bones, Part 3, and the exegesis of Savior's Day 2014, Part 2, the keynote address by the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I think it's timely. I think it's important that we keep revisiting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan 2014 Favors Day addresses, as well as the time and what must be done, Part 1 through 58. In particular, the part where he speaks of Ezekiel, and as we know today, he has profoundly told the universe that he is the Son of Man, that is Ezekiel, is speaking of in his book. So without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce my wonderful, wise panelists, and I'll start with you. First, my wonderful mentor, who I first was introduced as a student in Tampa, Florida, by this minister who is so dedicated. And if you wonder why I'm dedicated, and I'm not trying to brag about myself, but if you're wondering, I have a perfect example of an eternal student and helper of the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and my dear beloved brother, Student Minister James Muhammad. Welcome, brother, and thank you for answering the call to the invitation. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Reginald. And as always, I am deeply grateful and highly honored to be on this show with you, with our beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, our co-panelist, young fireball, Brother Kareem. I wish to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Alaikum
salam,
sir. Always, in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we further bear witness that He did appear and make His presence and power known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great Mahdi, July 4th, 1930. We thank him for raising up his messenger Messiah, the exalted Christ, the one who sits at the right hand of God and is in power over everything in the universe with the exception of God himself, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we can never thank Allah and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad enough for that one who, through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Allah fashioned and shaped and prepared for this prophetic hour of judgment at which we have arrived. And of course, the man of whom I speak is the Son of Man, is that one who is prophetically prototyped in the book of Ezekiel. Our beloved brother, Redeemer, Deliverer, Warner, Comforter, Reminder. I refer to him as my personal Redeemer and Savior, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Again, I want to greet you with the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum. And Brother Reginald, you know, you must be catching that I wouldn't say disease, but that heavy influence from Sister Queen Aziza with these introductions. So I have to say this.
All praise be to Allah.
While I am humbled by the great words that you speak in introducing me, dear brother, I cannot ascribe perfection to me or to anything that I do, lest I arrogate to myself no need for improvement. And the biggest thing that I have is the room for improvement in this house. So we're striving for perfection. We are flawed, and we fall short, as all have, of the glory of God. However, the saving grace of myself and all of us is the mercy found in and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that he allows us to be students. And as students, he allows us to make mistakes on our way to perfecting our ministry under his ministry. So I'm thankful to Almighty God, Allah, but perfection, I don't know how far off that is with me, but I know it's not here yet. So thank you, brother. I hope to be a good student and a good example of a student.
Well, you sure have, sir, and
all praises be to Allah
for you, because I only speak the truth. I know you're a humble and meek brother, but I only speak the truth, for you were my first minister, and it would be not doing you a good service to not give you credit where credit is due. Now, without further ado, this brother I just met at the tail end of December, this brother here is the fire of the house. This brother is so dedicated to the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to and through the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he will get your spirit quickened real fast. And he holds no punches. He speaks and tell it like it T.I. is, if you don't mind me to use that language. He is a wise and long pioneer, and he wears his boots with all honesty and all soldierhood and all warriorship. He is my beloved brother, Kareem Muhammad. And without further ado, I would like you, Brother Kareem Muhammad, to go ahead and introduce yourself to the world. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Give me a minute. I'm going to go find this cat you talking about, man, because he sounds like somebody I might want to hang out with. So just give me a minute. All praise is due to Allah. But to open in a proper manner, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And I further bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he is indeed his last and greatest messenger, the Exalted Christ. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder in our midst today. And he is the example of what we need to be doing. What we need to be doing. And I greet everyone with the greeting words of peace and paradise. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam, sir.
And I want
and
to thank
last,
you.
Last but not least.
I thank you, brother, for that introduction. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm done talking now.
All praises be to Allah, brother. It's all truth, and truth is what we need today. And with last but not least, I save our beloved sister Queen Aziza. I think Queen is okay, but she is a goddess to me. She has given me a platform. As I was a part of the Jehovah's Witness organization, in fact, I'm still a part of the organization, I'm just not an active member of the Jehovah's Witness organization. And we will learn a little bit more about that in our interlude as the minister covers that too. So stick around and make sure you stick around for the interlude, because we have another clip from that same lecture by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But this sister has given me a platform to reach across the aisle of all faith persuasions. I don't care what you claim to be, but your spirituality, and we are one. We are all spiritual beings, and this sister has given me the opportunity to reach out and stretch and lift my voice for the elevation, liberation, and salvation of my people in the form of being nothing more than just a little servant and your little brother. I love her dearly, and I can't thank Almighty God, Allah, enough. So without further ado, let me let the sister queen, the hostess of our beloved program, Nation Building Movement, share a few words with you in her introduction and in this introduction. Assalamu alaikum, sister queen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow. All praises due to Allah. Wa alaikum salam. I had planned on saying anything, but I can just share with you what's on my heart right quickly. All I can say is what a beautiful, beautiful lecture we received from the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan today. And I can tell you I understand more and more the saying of it's like fire shut up in your bones. And you just can't be still. And you have to go out and you have to teach. And so as we're talking and getting ready for this show tonight, I'm thinking about how to make Nation Building Movement better, as he reiterated the importance of us going out to our people and teaching and not walking by our brothers and sisters on the street and not sharing this knowledge. And I'm thinking to myself and praying to Allah, you know, what can I do better to reach our people through these airways? We are blessed by Allah's grace and permission to have such a powerful tool, and we might not have the mainstream media, but we have an avenue to reach our people. And inshallah, we will be changing the mindset of our people to engage more in those programs and even television shows that are beneficial to our people. Yes, we like to be entertained, but it's evident more and more every day that entertainment is not going to save us. And we need to stop feeling and thinking that we're so entitled to pleasure.
That's right.
When the minister said that we have not even worked on getting heaven. We haven't worked on being in heaven. We haven't done the work to usher in heaven. So why are we feeling so entitled to be entertained, to be pleased with false pleasure, and not even seeking the true pleasure or the true heaven of Allah? So as I said today, I vow to do what I can to help our minister get this word out to the best of my ability and whatever abilities that Allah will afford me. And I'm just hyped and I'm ready to go. All praises due to Allah. I love my minister. I can't thank Allah enough for giving us that man. He could have
us
anybody, but he gave us that man. And that man has a pure and loving heart for his people. You cannot deny it. He has an unshakable and unbreakable faith, and he has just inspired me over and over again, including even more so today.
Goodbye.
Just thinking of how time is so precious right now that we have him amongst us. Because he says he's not going to be here too much longer. And even while he's here, he's not going to be talking to us too much longer. So every word he's ever uttered in his 58 years of servitude is becoming more and more dear. So before I just go on and on, Brother Reginald, thank you. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum, fam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you. Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll, that was powerful. Beloved sister, and I know you always bring it from the sisterhood point of view. Mighty, mighty soldier for Almighty God's representative of daughters. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and try and give us an outline of the show tonight. We're going to come from a different kind of scripture, and it's going to be words used by the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. Because we have to understand, King James was not a righteous man. And Brother James, spoke about Mr. King James on our last show in part two. And King James was not a righteous man. So when we read his version of God's inspired word, we have to be very careful, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us it's a poison book. And when you're prescribed medication, if you're not prescribed the medication and you don't take it according to how it is supposed to be taken from the prescriptor, then it will do an adverse effect, and the side effects will be poisonous to your system. So we are witnessing now in our people the side effects of the poison of that King James Version. But now we have the internet. All praises be to Allah for information and all secrets being revealed in the end. Because we have now the availability to go out and research sacred texts that were purposely omitted and left out of the Bibles of today. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a chapter from, and I want you all to go in and research it, and you can take it or forbear it if you want to accept it or you don't. But this is called the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of my conscious community who may be listening, you know what age we are in. It is considered the Aquarian Age, where consciousness is awakened to those who are called, because many are called, but a few are chosen. So we are in the Aquarian Age, and I think it just would be proper for us to study the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll go and read one chapter from that. Then after I read that, then we'll have, from the panel, we'll have Brother Student Minister James Muhammad. He'll go ahead and finish up or start back speaking on chapter 37, Ezekiel, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And also we'll have Brother Green add to that. And once we finish that, which we didn't get to the last part two, we will then begin to definitely dive deep into Surah 47 of the Holy Quran, entitled Muhammad. And I'll let Brother James also lead us into that as well, or Brother Kareem can lead us into that, either or. I'll let you brothers do it. I'll let you yield to one another. After we do that, then at 7:30, we will have an interlude, and that interlude will be, of course, the second snippet from the lecture that you heard in the prelude. And after that, I will read what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to say about the Valley of Dry Bones. I'll read a little bit of that, and then we'll touch bases on that as much as we can. Now, at any time, my listening audience, I want to thank you for your continued support and collaboration in this nation-building movement. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan hit his hand on the rostrum in Savior's Day 2014, Part 1, when he was from the Holy Quran. His words, I quote, "I don't want any silent Muslim." So, Muslims means you're a Christian, because to be a good Muslim, you have to be a good Christian. To be a good Christian, you have to be a good Muslim. And we're all of the above. We're one ummah. We're one family. So we don't want you to be silent. If you are on the line, press 1 so that you can chime in on this timely subject. If you're in the chat room, place your comments, questions, and concerns in the chat room. And you are welcome to say whatever you please, ask whatever you please, and remember, no question is a dumb question, no statement is a dumb statement, but we all are eternal students, and like Brother James said in the introduction, we are all striving for righteousness. We are all seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness, for that is the only way that the heaven will come to earth. So, we'll go ahead, and at any given time, listening audience, my beloved listening audience, if you in the middle of this outline that I just gave, If you want to have your question answered right away or you want to make your comment, we will divert from the original outline because there's so much wisdom in what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that it would take 1,699 years to get it all out in just 2 hours. But we'll try our best to be as timely and as short with what we got to say and give our little 2 or 3 cents of an atom. And this, what I'm going to read now, is coming from chapter 22 of the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the reason why I chose this chapter and the reason that I thank Almighty God Allah for showing me this, because it speaks on the truth. And what we have to understand, people, is that Jesus' life in the King James Version of the Bible, we never knew exactly what happened when he was a child. You know, all we know about is his ministry and what he did during his ministry and the final, we knew about his birth, and it gets all the way up to his ministry. Now, this Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, it covers John the Baptist from birth and Jesus Christ from birth all the way up through their childhood, all the way up to their ministry. But during their childhood, whether you know it or not, Mary and Joseph's mother, they were taught by the ancient wise scientists of Egypt. And if you read it, you'll understand further into what I'm saying. But they were taught, and so was Jesus. He was taught in the school, just like Abraham was taught in the finest schools. But Jesus was taught in the finest schools. He didn't just get his knowledge from out the sky. He had to study and learn just like you and I have to do, because although he is one of the greatest men, if not the greatest man to ever walk the earth 2,000 years ago, he still was a man, and we should not worship him. He is worthy of praise and should be praised much. But he had a childhood just like we did. He had a mother and a father just like we had. And he was born from a womb of a woman just like we were. Now, I'm going to start with chapter 22, and it's called The Friendship of Jesus and Lamas. Now, Lamas was a wise teacher or in the ancient Egyptian land. I don't want to call it ancient Egyptian land, but I'll use that because right now Egypt is not in a good image for us to really comparing it with. But it says, among the priests of Dagonoth was one who loved the Jewish boy. Lamas Brahmas was the name by which the priest was known. But one day as Jesus and Lamas walked alone in Plaza Jonath, Lamas said, "My Jewish master, what is truth?" And Jesus said, "Truth is the only thing that changes not. In all the world there are two things. The one is truth, the other is falsehood is, and truth is that which is, and falsehood that which seems to be. Now, truth is ought and has no cause, and yet is the cause of everything. Falsehood is not, and yet it is the manifest of ought. Whatever has been made will be unmade. That which begins must end. All things that can be seen by human eyes are manifest of ought, are not, and so must pass away. The things we see are but reflexes just appearing, while the ethers vibrate so-and-so, and the ethers vibrate so-and-so, and when conditions change, they disappear." Now, he's going to talk about the breath here. Hear me out. "The holy breath is truth. Come on, Ezekiel. Is that which was and is and evermore shall be, and it cannot change nor pass away." So Lamas said, "You answer well. Now what is man?" And Jesus said, "Man is the truth and falsehood strangely mixed. Man is the breath made flesh, so truth and falsehood are conjoined in him, and they strive and not go down, and man as truth abides." Again, Lamas asked, "What do you say of power?" And Jesus said, "It is manifest. It is the result of force. It is but not. It is illusion, nothing more. Force changes not, but power changes as ethers change." And Jesus said, "It is a manifest. It is the result of force. It is but not. It is illusion, nothing more. Force changes not, but power changes as the ethers change. Force is the will of God. It is omnipotent. And power is that will and manifest directed by the breath. There is a power in the wind, a power in the waves, a power in the lightning stroke, a power in the human arm, a power in the eye. There is power, the ethers cause these powers to be, and thought of Elohim, of angel man or other thinking thing directs the force with it and has done its work, the power is no more. Again, Lamas asked of understanding, what do you have to say? And Jesus said, it is the rock on which man builds himself. It is the gnosis of the art and of the art of the knot of falsehood and of truth. It is the knowledge of the Lord self, the sensing of the powers of man himself. Again, Lamas asked of wisdom, what have you to say? And Jesus said, it is the consciousness that man is art, that God and man are one, that not is not, the power is but illusion, that heaven and earth and hell are not above, around, below, but in, which in the light of art becomes the not, and God is in all. Lamas asked, pray, what is faith? And Jesus said, faith is surety of the omnipotence of God in man, the certainty that man will reach deified life. Salvation is a ladder reaching from the heart of man to heart of God. It has three steps. Belief is first, and this is what man thinks perhaps is true. And faith is next, and this is what man knows is true. Fruition is the last, and this is man himself, the truth. Belief is lost in faith, and in fruition, faith is lost. And man is saved when he has reached deific life, when he and God are one. May Almighty God, Allah, bless the hearers and the listeners and the doers of his word. Amen. Okay, Brother Minister James, at this point, I would like for you to go ahead and either expound on what I just read, or you can go right into the finishing or the end of Ezekiel chapter 37, sir, as you will. Thank you for listening, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Reginald. I would like to first say that there are many, many versions of what is referred to as the Word of God written in many, 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 many texts. The King James Version has already been refuted in terms of accuracy of the word that they print, that they say or they ascribe to Jesus. Other texts, at least those that I have read, seem to be more accurate, including this one that our brother read. However, there are many, and when we study, we should study not just one version, but other versions and compare.
That's right.
As Paul said, prove all things, and the process of proof is comparison. Or comparative, or comparative analysis, mm-hmm. wherein you get versions or input from different sources. So I want to thank you, Brother Reginald, for your reading. I cannot expound on that because I'm not studied on that particular version. So if you don't mind, I'll opt for the latter option that you gave me, is to continue our reading and our exegesis. Of course, for your perusal, you know, it's not something that, you know, we say, because we say it is true. We all have our perceptions. We all have our understanding. So whatever I say, it's for your perusal, your proving. And you come up with whatever your intellectual mind tells you is the truth. Only research. This is what I ask of all who are listening. Research. Never take what anyone says on face value. You research it. It takes a little work, and it takes some intellectual bravery. But if you're too lazy to study, or too cowardly to challenge that which has been accepted as true, then you'll never come upon the truth. Just a little advice before we go into what we want to share with the help of Almighty God, Allah.
Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was just trying to parallel it to the what you were talking about last week, dealing with the breath, because the breath was so important. So that's mainly why I pulled that out of it, but I just felt like I should read it. And, of course, we do know, listener audience, that that's just one text of the many sacred texts mm-hmm. that were left out of the gospel in the Torah. So please don't misunderstand me at all. I just wanted to cover the breath part that Ezekiel speaks of. That's why I want to lean and point to that part of Ezekiel as Jesus spoke of the breath in this sacred text. And also now you can go ahead and continue your discussion on Ezekiel. Thank you, Brother Minister.
Well, thank you, brother, but there's no need for an explanation. We should all approach these programs as students, listening to a teacher, because we all can learn from each other. So let's get into it by the grace of Allah. Last Thursday or Friday, I think we stopped at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16 through 20, wherein it read, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of Israel, or when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be in one, or be one, in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. I want to stop right here. It's referencing someone that is bringing all the tribes together.
Mm-hmm.
That one of whom J. Edgar Hoover warned his staff of and set policy on the premise of, we must stop the rise of a black Messiah. He didn't say leader. He said a black Messiah that has the power or capability to unite all of the nationalist organizations, and even further than that, all of the civic and social organizations and the religious organizations. You heard that man today. You heard him last week as he put in the backdrop of the platform from which he was speaking a banner with the words, How strong is our foundation? And he pointed to many in the history. Some you recognize, and some we didn't. But it was from the nationalist community, from the religious community, from the social and civic community. This one who J. Edgar Hoover warned his staff, the government, the FBI, the CIA, against stopping his, or rather against allowing him to rise, this has already risen. This Messiah, and I'm talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it is written here in Ezekiel, giving us the prophetic premise of one that would come and unite all the factions of the children of Israel. Now, we have said, and many have said on these airwaves, who the children of Israel really are. And the greatest proof that we were given was that from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his powerful lectures, part one and two, who are the real children of Israel. Well, with time fleeting, I'll just say it's the black man and woman of America. So here is one of whom the scripture is prophesying that will bring all of the factions of the house of Israel or the children of Israel together. I wonder who that person is. Let's read on. I'm going to go as quickly as I can. And say unto them, this is the 21st verse, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. So it's talking about children who are in captivity at the hand and under the rulership of heathenistic people. Well, we can't find any people that fit that description than the white man in America. I mean, it's not a racist statement, it's just the truth. Whither they have gone, and will gather them on every side and bring all and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation, one nation, one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. They shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Now we get to the identification of who this one is. In the 24th verse we read, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes, and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Now I want to stop right there, because in one instance, his servant David is the king. In another instance, his servant David is a prince. Well, I'd like us to consider, about whom is this scripture talking? Is it two people? Or one people? Is it two Davids or one David? David is a descendant, according to the scriptures, of Jesus Christ, or Jesus, according to the scriptures. There was a David who was a king over Israel, was he not? Yes, he was. But who is this prince, David? I would suggest to us that this is talking about a modern house of Israel, modern children of Israel, a modern Messiah, and a modern, two modern servants of the God. The first of which is the Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. The second, he's the king. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. But not only that, the Mighty God. So this son is a God. Now, this God-son produces a child. And it's so beautiful. He's not the king, but he's the prince. He comes under the name David. And the most honorable Elijah Muhammad told the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, "Brother, you remind me of David. David had a heart like the heart of God. Moreover, I will make covenant of peace, a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, when you use this kind of language, "they shall be, I will be," you're talking about a condition that does not currently and presently exist, but a condition that will exist somewhere in the future. So, "I will be their God, and they shall be," or will be, "my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever." This means that the enemy is going to bow down after God makes himself and his power manifest, after uniting the diverse factions of the children of Israel. And in their unity, there will be the establishment of the kingdom of God. Where? Are you looking for it on a far planet, somewhere beyond the sun, moon, and stars? No. 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 To my beloved Christian brothers and sisters, you pray, "Our Father," and I pray it too sometimes, "who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means there's a kingdom, a standard kingdom of heaven somewhere in the heavens, not the mythical heaven that we have been falsely misguided to look for beyond the sun, moon, and stars, as the minister said today. The white man has developed technology, these powerful telescopes that can see miles into space, take pictures of planets, far stars, but he hasn't spied heaven yet. Why? Because that's not the heaven that we're talking about here. That heaven, which is also called the hereafter, is here right on earth after the power of the heathen or the wicked or the devil is broken. That's right here in America. I'll say it again. That's right here in America. Now, I'm going to close, but I want if it pleases Allah, I would like us to consider the words that have been spoken. It's 30 now, and I know there's something else on the program that, of course, I think it's the minister that's going to be played. So thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you very much, beloved. And, of course, we're going to delay it to make sure that Brother Kareem goes ahead and chimes in on the exact topic or whatever topic he'd like to chime in on what has been said thus far. You have the floor, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, I just really want to say thank you first to my brother, Student Minister James Muhammad, for exactly explaining what the scripture he just read means. It's plain. It's plain. When we understand that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is in the seat, he's carrying the mantle of that King David. If you go back and study Elijah of the Bible, after Elijah, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, came Elisha, who Elijah before he, because he didn't die according to the book.
That's right.
He was taken up in a fiery chariot, but before he went up, he put his mantle on Elisha and told him, continue to work. And when you place your mantle on someone, it means they have your permission. They are walking in your shoes, if you will. They are continuing the work that you started. And so that means that you look for no deviation. And I say that because if you notice, there's so many detractors out here that I see on the social media, and not so much in public anymore, but particularly on the social media. They want to try to disparage the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and what he's doing. And their biggest point of contention is they want to say that the minister has deviated from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I say to them, based upon the scripture we just read, because when anyone is reading the scripture, it's good to listen, but you need to have your book out because it's your study, and read it for yourself, because there's an impact on the brain. There's an impact on the mind when you actually read it yourself. See, we have five senses, but of all those senses, the only one of those senses which is directly connected to the brain is our vision. Is our vision. Our eyes are considered, when you look into anatomy, they are considered the only part of the brain that's external to the body. So we need to do that. And I mean, and for those who may not so much necessarily be religious, but what he read, what he shared with us, up that connection between the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, King David, and Prince David, there is a parallel in history. See, I know that the Caucasian would have you believe that Genghis Khan was a tyrant, that Genghis Khan was not somebody, you know, he wasn't too nice a fellow. You need to go study for yourself. And you'll see a parallel in there. And I'm not being funny. Let's just get real about this. You notice the brother's name is Farrakhan. And I've heard many different explanations about the name. The minister has never really gone into it in depth. But just, I want to share this with you. Genghis Khan was born among a group in China known as the Mongols. He was considered to be a destined ruler. He started out, his name originally with his tribe was called Temujin, which means man of iron. That's interesting, because the Bible tells us that this one who comes, this Son of Man who comes in the latter day, would rule the nations with a rod of iron. Think over that. Think over that. Now, Genghis Khan, as he grew, he didn't get the name Genghis Khan until he actually entered into China, and they gave him the name Khan, which means king. But his dream, his one goal, was to unite all the warring tribes of his people under one banner. When you study the history of him, Genghis Khan didn't play. He didn't, where they were running around committing fornication and just taking women against their will, and just they were a wild people, man. They did anything they wanted to. You know, they had freaknicks and all that kind of stuff. They may not have called it that, but if you go study the history, they did. Genghis Khan put a stop to all that. When you study the law and the rule that he set down, it was nothing but Islam. Now, we're talking about the historical one, Genghis Khan. He set that down. If you go back and look, his law was one that he didn't allow alcohol. You wanted a woman, you had to marry that woman. He didn't allow slothfulness. They were made to train. They had military training. They had to be extremely disciplined. But like I said, his goal was to unite all his people, and he did. He united all the tribes of the Mongols, and if you check, the Mongols are a black people in China, in case you didn't know. Now, let's come to now and what we just read. That has been the goal, and that has been the duty, and that has also been the effect. And it is the effect that you see coming from Prince David, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I have seen no one else who is able to unite us effectively in such manner across all lines. One of the best examples, that which has now become known historically as the Million Man March, the call that the minister gave out. And as you know the history of that, you know that the majority of the people there were not quote-unquote registered Muslims. There were people from across all strata, as it's called. Now, you read earlier, brother, from a book called The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ by Levi. I've had opportunity to study that, as well as some other books called the Urantia Book and other books which make claim, you know, and I'm not knocking it, which make claim to, and there's valuable information in them, which make claim to talk about the early life and time of Jesus and what he did. I would suggest, though, that anyone who is interested, really, really interested, in Jesus' early life and his history, that you get a book, little bitty book, small, won't take you number, maybe a day to read, maybe. You sit down and really get into it, might take you hours or so. Then you're going to want to go back and study it, but it's called The True History of Jesus. And it's written the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in that small little book, he gives you the information on this historical Jesus of 2,000 years ago, whom it tells us in the Quran that Mary and her son are a sign, so a sign of us in this time. See, today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his lecture, again, as always, I mean, I always learn and I grow from the minister as he teaches and he gives us. The one thing, though, above everything else he said today that stood out to me again is the fact, and I'm paraphrasing now, is the fact that instead of being cheerleaders, instead of being quotologists, he didn't say it like this, but this is what it meant to me, instead of being quotologists, we need to be literally following his example, and following his example means doing what he's doing. We have to. Otherwise, what is the point of us? Minister don't need cheerleaders. He needs individuals who are doing the work. That's what we have to be. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Look at what what Student Minister James Muhammad read. He said, he's talking to the Son of God, talking to the Son of Man. He said, moreover, thou Son of Man, take thee one stick and write upon it. That means he's putting a name on it. He's identifying it. For Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it. For Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. So see, he said, everybody, bring them together. I don't know if anybody remembers this example, but as a matter of fact, this was, if you get a chance, go and check out the movie. Of course, you still should check the history out. But check out the movie. There's a movie called Genghis Khan, not the one with John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You want the one with Omar Sharif in it, okay? But check out the history. Study the history for yourself. Go and dig and read and dig into the books. But for those who, you want a little entertainment, okay, fine. Go get the movie. And it shows in that movie, if I'm not mistaken, in one of the scenes, how Genghis Khan takes a stick by itself and breaks it. But then he takes a group of sticks and puts them together and hands it around. Nobody can break the group of sticks. See, it's the unity here. You can't get away from this.
Gotcha.
And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Well, we talked about this before. Anything that's in your hand, because we talked about this early in this chapter of Ezekiel. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. We talked about when something is in your hand, that means you have control over it. You are able to maneuver it and use it for your purpose. Well, in this sense, we know that the Son of Man's purpose is the purpose of Almighty God. And so now, it says, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not shew us what thou meanest by this? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of all Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. So see, in other words, the work he's doing is putting us into the hand of God, that we are the mighty instrument. All of us across all strata, across all lines, we are the mighty instrument to build and bring in the hereafter. Here, after the workings of Satan. Here, after the destruction. Yes, as my brother just said, here in America. Right here in America. It tells us that in the book, Our Savior Has Arrived. That it'll be here. But this is after, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, the 390 years of burning and in the 610 years of cooling, which adds up to 1,000 years.
That's right.
That will take place.
That's right.
However, even before that, right now, we've got to live. So stated the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, so states the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We got to live now. So all those detractors that want to talk about, well, why are you trying to build this up if it's going to be destroyed? Well, we don't know when that's going to be. So until that time, we need to work, as it says in the scripture. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So while there's still daylight, while there's still an opportunity, then we need to be found working. And so I'm going to stop right there because I want to hear the other excerpt that you have coming and let us continue. I don't want to monopolize the program. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, beloved, and thank you so much for that profound response to Ezekiel and what Brother Minister James had to say. I mean, that was just right and exact. Both of you were right and exact. And representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. Wow.
Now, further ado, now Sister Queen, do you have any questions or comments or any body's hands raised on the phone at this point?
Not on the phone, but I want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question or comment, please press one on your dial pad. We may be having some problems with the phone because the phone lines are full. So so you can hit me up in the chat room. Y'all know. Get to Muhammad at gmail.com or grmuhammad at yahoo.com. I'm on Gmail right now, and I'm trying to tie into Yahoo. So, but yes, in the chat room, we do have a couple of questions for the Reginald. And the first one is Sister Katira. I pray that I'm getting your name right, dear sister. She said, the minister said things will get worse for us until we submit. How do you know when you are doing all things well? Striving is one thing, but time is short. We need to know.
Okay. Thank you very much, beloved sister, for that question. I yield to Brother Kareem Muhammad.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. And let me say, yes, thank you.
Salam, sir.
Those are the questions that we do need to answer. And I will say this. We need to understand the difference between striving and trying. See, that's first. Many individuals are trying, and that's where it starts. We start out by trying. But the thing, the difference between trying and striving is this. Let me use this example. When I come up to a door and the door is closed, but I know on the other side of that door is a treasure, a goal that I want to complete or to reach, I come up and I reach at the handle and I attempt to turn the handle and the handle is locked. The door won't come open. And I try the door. It won't come open. I walk away. I say, well, I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when I'm striving to do something,
mm-hmm.
to strive, and you will find you can't show me in any scripture, either Bible or Quran, where the God says, try. In the Quran, it doesn't say that a man means any human being. The human creature will get what he tries for. It says he will get what he strives for. Man will only achieve or get what he strives for. So when I'm striving, that means that regardless of what it takes, what effort I must put into it, I will not stop until I achieve that which I am striving for. That is the difference between trying and striving. Striving also entails, that means there's going to be some strife involved. That means there's going to be some work, some effort, but I will not stop until I achieve that which I set out to do. Now, the way that we know that we are in line with these teachings, I'm just going to put it plain like that. The way that we know that we are in line with these teachings is the fact that, number one, the instructions are very clear. So then I see how well my actions, my behavior, line up with the instructions that are being given. Am I doing? I'm not going to even deal with Master Farad Muhammad. I'm not going to deal with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm going to deal just with recently what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. How well am I obeying the instructions given by the man in our midst? That's first. The other way or the other aspect of that is this. Our peace of mind. So we're going to, it says that struggle is ordained. But see,
that's
suffering
right.
is optional. We suffer as a result of not obeying or half obeying, which is tantamount to not obeying the instructions we've been given. That's when we suffer. We're going to struggle. But even in the struggle, we will have peace and contentment of mind as long as we are striving to submit our will to do the will of Allah. In the instructions we've been given, it says that the laborer could perform their labor with very little study. There was one quality above all that was professed that you had to have, and that was to be sincere. So see, if we are sincere in our heart in desiring to serve Allah, then we can get this done. We will follow the instructions. But what the point I was getting to is that our level of contentment, our level of peace of mind, and our progress are directly proportional to how submitted we are and how well we carry into practice the instructions we have been given. And that's really all I can say about that. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Okay, thank you very much, beloved. Before we get the answer to that from Brother James, we're going to go ahead. I want you to hold that thought, Brother James, because we want to get to this excerpt from the minister right away. But I want you to hold your thought because I do want you to
answer the question.
Well, let
me say this, Brother Reginald.
So, yes,
sir. Let me say this. I'm sorry to have interrupted you, dear brother, but just to let you know, I really don't have anything to add to what Brother Kareem shared.
Okay.
I mean, it was very plain to the point and directly to the question. So I don't have anything to add. We can go with another question after the excerpt if, you know, such is desired.
Okay,
but thank you.
All right, beloved, that's fine. Okay, well, leading into the excerpt, I just want to say this. On this show, which I am hosting, and I thank, if it's the will of Almighty God, Allah, I will be hosting it every Sunday. But on this show in particular, I have at least 1,200 Christian and Hebrew and Jewish and Jehovah Witness friends.
Yes.
I have about 1,000 Muslim friends. Now, I just want to say this. I live and will die for my love of the Nation of Islam. But it is my hopes, by the permission and the will of Almighty God, that I can be a link or a bridge or a sign to point them in the direction to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I have to be biased towards my listening audience because I have so many different faith persuasions listening. So some of our listening audience are not familiar with the instructions, with the general orders, with the restrictive laws of the Nation of Islam. And that's okay. That's okay. So I just want you to listen and research and find a Fruit of Islam, find an MGT, find a student minister of the Nation of Islam, and they can explain these things better and more in depth for you because we only have but a short time on this show. But suffice it to say, leading into the excerpt, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a man who claims and is a Muslim, a Jew, and a Christian. So we have to always keep in mind that we can't be anything less than the man who's given us a direct order to go out and save his people. Not our people. I mean, excuse me, not just the Muslims, because we all were Muslims all of our lives. It was somebody that came and rescued us from what we were being taught, the watered-down gospel, the watered-down Torah. So it was somebody that saved us. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you have to go into their book and defeat them in their book and teach them according to their book.
Mm-hmm.
So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been a perfect exemplar of doing just that. Now, at the tail end of this excerpt, I want you to pay a close attention when he mentioned the Jehovah Witness Organization. Because remember, they used a Bible, which I, like I said, I was ordained as a minister as a Jehovah's Witness, and I used as my sermon to get ordained, I listened to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture for 3 straight weeks. I used that lecture in the audience for the audience to hear me give my exegesis to receive my ordination. They didn't know I was using Islam in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught to and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But God is the best knower and the best planner. And he, when his spirit is imbued upon you, then you let him use you as a vessel any way you can to get his people. You don't discriminate against the people living in the ghettos. You don't discriminate against the people who are the least of these. No, we are saviors 24 hours, 7 days a week.
That's
and
right.
We make no distinction amongst the prophets, messengers, and servants of Almighty God. And we will not make any distinctions to be successful among our people. So let me go ahead and let them play this and let the are you ready, Sister Queen Aziza?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, beloved, thank you for your patience, and thank you, listening audience, for your patience. And you can go ahead and start the clip now. Assalamu alaikum.
So those of white skin, I am not your enemy. And you may not have anything to do with what your ancestors have done. Nevertheless, it is Europe and America that have colonized and enslaved the entire planet. Is there anyone who can deny that? It is not that slavery did not exist before white people. And it is not that evil did not exist. But governments, systems of evil, and education that supports white supremacy, that makes white people sick and black people sicker.
Uh-huh.
So all of this has to be done away with that we can fulfill our destiny and become human beings and reflection of the divine being. But in the book of Revelations, in the 12th chapter, here's wisdom. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, 666. The book of Revelation, as well as the book of Daniel, describes 4 beasts. And then it said the mark of the beast was in their forehead and in their hands. And if you look at the actions of human beings toward one another, whether we are white human beings or black human beings or brown or Hispanic or Native American, whatever we are, look at the actions of our hands and the words of our mouths. They are not the words and the actions of human beings, they are the words and the actions of beasts in human form. So we slither around like serpents lying, tricking, deceiving one another. This is the way of the world in which we live. It justifies homosexuality. It justifies lesbianism. It justifies all the things that God forbids. Now listen, if you were that way, I'm not here to speak of condemnation of my brother or sister who is engaged in one form of departure from right, while all the rest of us are engaged in some other departure from what is right. That's not what this is about. It is about providing a mirror that will allow you to see why God is destroying America and the present world. He came without observation. See? He was coming after you. Well, they have long been expecting one to come after you. You being the lost member of the Aboriginal Black Nation, they were expecting one that looks like you. But he had a wise father who was a black man who went up in the Caucasus Mountains and found a Caucasian woman, purified her. As the Bible puts it in the book of Revelation, there was a wonder in heaven. A woman clothed in the sun, standing on the moon with 12 stars and a crown on her head. Clothed in the sun means that she was wrapped in the light of God and was pregnant with a child. Standing on the moon means that she was in fulfillment of what all the prophets had spoken. And the 12 stars represent the 12 major scientists who approved of this relationship that would bring the Son of Man into existence. He came without observation. He moved among us for 20 years before he made himself known. We don't know to whom he spoke, but he was wise, wise, wise. And in the book of Habakkuk it said, and he had horns coming out of his hands, but there was the hiding of his power. He taught Pastor Russell and Judge Rutherford. And from that teaching came that which is called the Jehovah's Witnesses, a group of people who understand the end times, who understand the end of this system of things, who refer to themselves as witnesses of Jehovah. And they are right. And what they've set up all over America is called Kingdom Hall. They come and knock on your door to try to help you to understand the book you've been reading but didn't understand. But they represent the kingdom. So do Mormons. So do others. The kingdom of God is a government under the rules and laws of God. You can come as you are, but you can't stay that way.
Come on.
You can come as you are, but you have to be cleaned up and made ready for your job.
That's it.
All praises be to Allah.
All praises be to Allah.
Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
All right, Sister Queen. We can go ahead with another question if you have one at this particular time.
I have a question, comment from Doug G. He says, our division is the cause of our destruction. I miss the days of when the FOI would speak on the street and invite people to the mosque. Will they start doing it again? Back in the 1960s, that is how we learned about the nation.
That's right. That's right. That's right, beloved brother. And I thank you for that comment. And that is what the underlying theme of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's Savior's Day 2014 Part 2 keynote address was about. For us to go back, because although he spoke to the world about the world, he finished scolding and spanking his own house. Remember what he said. Anybody that was collected, you know that he was giving tough love to his own because he is not pleased with us as a nation. Rise up, you mighty nation. We can accomplish what we will. We can go out and be saviors, like the brothers said, like we used to. That's what the pioneers taught us. We got brothers out here now that's serious about this thing, that's wanting to be saviors by any means necessary. And the underlying means is to get your people to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by and through the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we must begin or rededicate ourselves to that process. And I don't know if you have it fully available to you right now, Sister Queen, but Sister Queen, God bless her, she came up. I don't know if she made it herself, but it was a pledge of rededication to the Nation of Islam, which I will read at the end of this broadcast, that I think we all should say in pledge, if we are up under the flag of the Nation of Islam, and the sacrifice and dedication that we must reciprocate, because our father, our spiritual father, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has worked effortlessly. He has been our mercy. He has been our mercy, and we have not treated our mercy well. Like he mentioned, he did 58 weeks of a lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. Guess what we gave him as a token of appreciation? A little crystal or glass. I don't know what to call it. But in so many words, he looked at it as mockery. So what he's trying to tell us is, if you want to award me, don't award me, let me award you based on your work and your dedication that you are showing me. Let me reward you, because that's nothing to me. In other words, his rewards and his honors and his blessings come from Almighty God Allah, and it ain't nothing we can give him for his sacrifice of doing 58 weeks of the time and what must be done. All we can give him in return is to go out and get our people, teach our people, and point our people to these truths. But first, before we do that, we got to actually watch the time and what must be done. Because a lot of us have not watched it. We have not watched all 58 parts of the time and what must be done. So how are we to go out and teach our people if we ourselves are not studious in learning what the wisdom and science is in those 58 lectures? I suffice that to say, we got work to do, family. We have work to do. We have to continue to represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the best of manners. We are at war. We are at war. There's spiritual wickedness going on in high and low places. And since I am on the subject of war, which is perfect leading into our next phase of this particular show, and that is dealing with the Holy Quran, Surah 47. And we started on it in part two, and we didn't really dive deep into it. But tonight, we want to try to finish up. I was going to read an excerpt from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but we're going to go ahead and deal with Surah 47. And I'll let Brother Student Minister James go ahead and continue the discussion on the Holy Quran, because we've came from the Bible. We've even came from a sacred text. We've heard the minister mention Jehovah's Witness. So we're trying to cover all bases on this show. So go ahead, Brother James, without further ado, go ahead and continue your part two, part on the Holy Quran, Surah 47. As-salamu alaykum. Brother James? Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm talking. I forgot I was on mute. I'm sorry. And I hear you giggling, Sister Aziza. But I'll
be
better. I'll
try to hold it.
But before we do that, two things, the first of which is, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan chided us who are in the House for our lack of work and performance of the word and after the word has been given and received, he extended that chiding and that admonishment to the Christian community. We as a people who profess to be children of God, apostles, as I hear the titles being used, apostle so-and-so, bishop so-and-so, reverend so-and-so, which means to some degree that your title says you should be revered, pastor so-and-so, which means you're a shepherd. But, dear shepherd, how are you shepherding your flock? So he was inclusive of all the communities under any religious title. It was non-denominational, non-secular. You know, dear brother, we all have to get our people. So when he talked about walking by our people, walking by the drunkard, the prostitute, the drug pusher, the drug user. He included all of us who are supposed to be fishers of men. And when I say men, I mean women too. That's the first thing. Secondly, dear brother, I must say it is far, 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 far from me to preempt a reading of an excerpt of the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad so that I could get my little understanding over to the people. Please, brother, I can't preempt that. So if you could read that, then I feel more comfortable whatever time I have left or don't have left. Could you read that excerpt, brother, please? Am I being heard?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
Oh, okay.
Brother Reginald?
Okay, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I did the same thing you did. I'm talking to myself. All right, okay, all right. Okay, this is an excerpt from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the Valley of the Dry Bones. Starting, he says, "Certainly, you are an army. Many of you today are in the army. Many of you today are brave fighters. yet not for yourself, but as soon as you come into the knowledge of yourself, you will unite, and there will be a great and mighty army of the so-called Negroes fighting tooth and nail for their own independence. It says in the seventh verse, and he's speaking of Ezekiel, chapter 37, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, but to his bone. Not to bone, but man to man as a brother. Remember, you are so-called American Negroes. You are divided like a man's body that has become dried bone, and someone takes the bones and pieces them apart, putting one here and putting one there, and the Son of Man having come. Searching, who wants to study the body, will come and look for every bone to assemble all those dry bones and make his person or man back again. One will say that all he needs is flesh, then he will be the same man. The picture Ezekiel saw of you and I here today. We are divided here one against the other. The words of Almighty God or the truth which is of God will unite you. It will assemble you together. And you will be united and will stand up for each other and will go to your own. I have been preaching to you for over 40 years in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, and now throughout the country, coast to coast. I have traveled and I am on the radio about every Sunday for you tonight. Sound familiar? The 58-week lecture series. I am crying to you to hear the word of the Lord right, he says. And while I am teaching you the word of the Lord, the truth has no scholar in America. Whether he's for it or against it, he can't condemn it. You hear a noise of an interpreter of war, and there is a shaking in the family of the black man. Africa is shaking. You are shaking. And for the first time after 400 years, you see Africa, and Africa sees you. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you is this, that you are symbolically the dry bones, and America is the valley. You are now shaken because the word of Almighty God is being preached among you and begins to move you. And as you shake, you're getting closer and closer to each other. You begin to feel sympathetic towards your black brother in Africa, and your black brother in Africa is beginning to feel sympathetic to you in America. For the first time after 300 years while you were dead, dead from the white man's slavery, Africa said nothing. If they said anything, you didn't hear from them. No darker people of yours said anything concerning your slavery here for three long years. Now today, the black man, the brown man, the yellow man, the red man of yours are all talking about justice for the so-called Negroes. Prophecy. Hear the word of the Lord, back to Ezekiel. And they shall live. They are a great army of mighty people who just fallen asleep. They are dead by the touch of an enemy. If you give them my word, son of man, and they hear, I will put my spirit in them. When I put my spirit into them, they shall live. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, the bones now have become people. O my people, I will open your graves. Now it's graves and not a valley. You must watch the Bible readings to understand it and be careful. This was a vision. In the first of the vision, it was a valley and the people were bones. Here, further on in the vision, they became people and they live in a grave. And the word of the Lord is to bring them out of the grave, not out of the valley, but out of their grave. Yes, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. If this was whole house of Israel that was bones, then where were they which made it necessary for them to go back to the land of Israel? Then these bones did not fall dead in the land of Israel. These are the facts that you must dig into the science of the book to learn just exactly where to place the truth of it. It is right if you understand it, but this Israel should not have been there. It should have been the land of the black man, you people, because it is you the book is referring to. I will bring you into your own land. You must remember that it was Moses in Exodus that carried Israel to the promised land. Then how could Ezekiel resurrect Israel again and take them into the land of Israel? Something is wrong. Ezekiel says that according to the word of the Lord that he will bring them into their own land. We know that we are not in our own land. We know that our fathers were brought here by the white man over 400 years ago. We know the actual day we came from Africa. I was in Africa in December 1960, and the Sudanese was telling me all the time to come, and they looked just like you and I. Ezekiel is referring to you and I, the land, and is the land of Africa, not the land of Israel. Israel has no land. Now, where could we go into the land of Israel? Because Israel is a vagabond. She has no land. She's trying to fight and claim someone else's land. Well, then what does Ezekiel mean here is a land where it's independent? If Israel had no independence, she had no land, and she has no land today. She's standing before the gun to blow off the land that land that she's trying to claim is hers today. She never owned that land, never was her land. When I entered the Asiatic world, the Muslim world, I wrote back here an article to put in the paper, and it was put in the paper telling you how eager the white man is to keep you in his name and to represent you as one of his servants so that you will be recognized by your people over there. Over there, I was recognized, not the minister, I'm just going to put that in there. He spoke about this today, his visit in the East. Over there, I was recognized, and I was taken in their arms, hugged and kissed when I told them I was Elijah Muhammad. Muhammad was the name that made them embrace me. They sat down on the stands by the hundreds and listened to me talk with them. Several thousands there in Khartoum, Sudan, sat down on the ground and listened to me. Hundreds followed me off the ground crying, "Long live Muhammad." In Jeddah, Arabia, we sat down at the garden and had dinner, and the garden had a lot of small springs of water with little electric light around it. And they'd light it up at night. It is one of the most beautiful sights you ever saw. I had one of these springs of water at the head of the table with another imam from Syria. I used that word another, which may make you think I am an imam. I am not representing myself as an imam. We sat there and we dined and we discussed the Holy Quran and the Bible's prophecy. There were about 18 or 20 of us all. Of them were scholars except three news reporters of the Arab newspaper. In Egypt, I was offered a palace that is already built, and then they said to me that if you don't like this one, we will build you a new one. They will not do that unless you are a Muslim. We want you to remember that the dry bones of Ezekiel was a future mentally dead people who must receive the truth that they may live and unite into their own kind, for this people is dead out of their own country. They must be returned to their own people into their own land. God Almighty himself, by the hands of a prophet or a messenger, will do this job in the last days. I believe that you understand that Ezekiel did not see anything in reality, but he saw the pitiful condition of a people coming in the future, and these people were mentally killed out of their country. What caused that death was deprivation of the truth. Restoring the truth of them will return them. It will bring them into unity with each other, their own kind, and brought them into their own people in their own language. This is what it means. You will go back to your people, and you can't help but to go back, because if God said through his prophets that he will return you, then he's going to return you. He will force you to return. He is not going to lie. All praises be to Allah, and I hope the listening audience have the light of understanding on the most honorable Elijah Muhammad's words in this lecture, The Valley of the Dry Bones. Now, with further ado, brother, student Minister James, first sister Queen Aziza, do we have any questions or comments at this particular time?
Yes, sir, we do. We have a question from, okay, we got a question from Mr. P. He says, how can the minister known as Farrakhan predict the weather? And secondly, why do you change your name when these determine your worth?
You're answering your own question.
Either one
of y'all can have at it. Y'all yield to each other. I leave that all in y'all.
Could you repeat the first part of the question, dear sister?
He said, how can the minister known as Farrakhan predict the weather? And secondly, why do you change your name when deeds determine your worth?
All right. Number one, he's the servant of that one who is in control of the weather. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. I know that you didn't anticipate that it would be a black man from among the former slaves. Many of you didn't anticipate that, and even less did you anticipate that he would be a Muslim. However, that is the truth. He is the exalted Christ, the first fruit of them that slept. The resurrected, ascended, and exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is the one among the two that is backing, who is backing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and directing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and empowering the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So he that is in control of the weather has conferred power of the minister to predict the weather.
That's right.
Now, where is this in Scripture?
Come on. Teach it, minister.
In Scripture, you will find that Jesus posed the question, and perhaps, Brother Reginald, you can tell them directly where. That's a failing, a shortfall that I have. I've read the Bible through and through, but I haven't memorized the particular chapters and verses.
And that's not important. Go ahead, Brother.
From
beloved.
Which
Go
I
ahead.
Speak.
It's the principle that counts. Go ahead, beloved.
In the Scripture, when Jesus was asking the people, his disciples rather, who do they say I am?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some said that they say you are the return of John the Baptist. They say that you are Elijah, you know. And he asked his disciples, well, what do you say? Who do you say I am? And
mm-hmm.
Peter said, thou art the Christ,
that's
the
right.
Son of the living God. He then replied, blessed are ye among men, Simon Bar-Jonah. And there's
right.
another teaching in that. He
that's
told
right.
them flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He also said, and what you bind on earth, Peter, I will bind in heaven. And what you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. So if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan looses the weather on the enemy and others, then he who is in the heavens and in control of the weather will bind in the heavens what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has bound on earth, and loose in the heavens what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has loosed on earth. That's my response to the first question. The second question, of course, is our names are changed when we accept Islam as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because the names that we are wearing are the names of our slave master.
That's right.
If you review just a little history, and you saw, in fact, if you read the book Roots or saw
Come
the
on.
TV series Roots,
Come
you
on,
would witness that when we were sold from one plantation owner to the next, we could retain the first name that our mothers gave us, but that second name had to reflect the name of him who owned us or who we were sold to. So if we were Jim Jones or James Brown, and we were sold to slave Master Green, we could retain Jim and we could retain James, but we could not retain Brown or Jones. We had to be slave master. We had to be Green.
Peace. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, let me just say, on that note, there are more black people named Washington and Jefferson than white people. You can't even find a white person named Jefferson. And you're hard put to find a white person named Washington. So all those Washington and Jeffersons are black. I wonder how that happened.
Come on.
So that last name is the name of the slave master. And as we come into the knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of our God, one of the first principles of knowledge that we come into is that we are no longer slaves.
That's right.
We no longer belong to Brown, to Green, or to Washington, or to Jefferson, but we are, as the scripture calls us, the children of God. And if we're the children of God, should not we wear our father's names?
If my people are to call on my name, that's right, Minister, go ahead.
But the names of God are more than names. They're attributes. Each representing an aspect of his divine power. So we take on the letter X, which represents in mathematics the unknown, since we don't know what attribute that is in us to the most prolific degree of God. We have to work in the cause of God to manifest that. And when we work in the cause of God, then we are bestowed that attribute. Right now, we wear the name Muhammad because we are of the family of Muhammad. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that's not your name. It's your family name, but that's not the name that you asked for when you wrote your letter. These are his words. He said, did not you ask Master Farad Muhammad for a name from him? Well, he will bestow upon us our name. And whatever that name is, the family name will be Muhammad. Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
So yes, we've got to work in the cause of God. And for you who asked the question, I don't know what your last name is, but if it's a European name, brother, that's not your name.
No, sir.
No. You should research where you got that name from. If it's a European or Western name, you should ask, where did it come from? Research it. And you will find if it is a European or Western name, it came from a slave master.
That's right.
And if you're wearing that name, when you find out where it came from, keep your first name to honor your mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
But that family name, that name that belongs to the slave master, is such you're wearing. I don't know if you are. But if you are, change that name. If you don't want to change it to a beautiful Muslim name, then change it to a beautiful African name. But
that's
for God's sake, come out of the name of the slave master. Thank you for your question. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Well, alaikum salam. And before you add on to that, Brother Kareem, I just want to explain to my listening audience who may not know the name Muhammad. It means one who is worthy of praise and one who is praised much. So we know that Jesus is worthy of praise and praised
That's
much.
Right.
Jesus is Muhammad. So we just want to keep that in the Christian knowledge book, that you realize that
That's
it's
right.
just an attribute that honors the Most High. Okay. I just wanted to add that on so that my listening audience who may not know what the name Muhammad means, now they have clear clarification as to why we are the family of Muhammad. Okay, Brother Kareem, without further ado, I'm sorry, brother, go ahead.
No apologies needed, brother. All praise is due to Allah. First, I want to say that what Student Minister James Muhammad has said, again, it's right. It's on point. He explained it perfectly. And so I would not add anything to what he said concerning the first part of
the brother's question, the only thing I would say about the second part about the names is, if you look that word name up, it gives you many different descriptions or definitions of it. I'm just going to share a couple. It says, a word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing, a word or symbol used in logic to designate an entity, a descriptive, often disparaging epithet. It says reputation. At the root of it, also means family or clan, but at the root of it, the word name is defined as the nature of. Nature of. And so, again, what our brother said, we're the children of God, so shouldn't we wear his name? Because if we're his children, then we have the same nature as him. But it is vital. We have to first work out or show, after we submit our will to do his will, then what our true nature is, or what attribute or what principle of God we best exemplify, then we know what the name is, what our nature is. You know, so I mean, like I said, well, he explained it perfectly. And it's, that's all I could add to that, is just that, that name and nature are synonymous. So, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. Since we are over time, I did promise that, you know, I have to give a sister credit when credit is due, and it is always due to all of our sister goddesses, queens, and princesses. But this sister came up with us, and I'm talking now. Excuse me, my other family, but I'm talking now to my Muslim, my Nation of Islam family. We have to rededicate ourselves. And the sister came up with a pledge. And I think this is so beautiful that we all, if we all just honor this pledge, because, I mean, we've went all our life saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. So now, listen to this pledge that this sister has made, and I myself have made the pledge also. And I think we all would be mindful. I mean, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I think it is appropriate for us all to make this pledge. This is what it says. Under this flag, I, you put your name there, stand and vow to do what I must to help our dear minister, and I will use all of my resources and abilities to help in the cause of my people. I have never been afraid to speak the truth, and I surely am not going to stop now. May Allah continue to bless all of us in the army of Allah. Not one of us can do everything, but we all can do something. Standing on the front line for Almighty God, Allah. All praises be to Allah. Thank you, sir.
All praises be to Allah.
I hope we honor it, and I hope we understand it. And if not, please, I pray that Almighty God, Allah, will give us the light of understanding, and we will rededicate our life to this cause and be helpers, active helpers, not permissive or submissive. Excuse me, not submissive helpers or passive. That's the word I want to use. Excuse me, not passive helpers, helpers of the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan. Thank you all for listening. And you can go ahead at this point, Sister Queen Aziza, give the lineup. You can close out. And I want to thank the panelists for coming on the show. And unfortunately, we still haven't got to Surah 47 yet, but I'm sure Brother James will continue it in his study talk show when we return, if Brother Kareem doesn't do it tomorrow night. But at this time, I thank all of the listening audience for giving me and us your time, your ears, your heart, your mind. And I thank Almighty God Allah for you from the depths of my heart. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Okay, well, thank you, Brother Reginald, for sharing the plans. That, yeah, I did write it myself, and that was what was on my heart, of course, after I heard the minister's message, and it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that our minister witnesses our rebellion after giving 58 plus years of his life in serving Allah. We have absolutely no excuse. He has been a perfect example. And so, therefore, I have committed to strive even harder to be of service to our people. Just to let y'all know, I also working on another project. And, you know, when we are down in our spirit, we have to lift one another up. That's part of what we do as family.
That's right.
And so I have been pushing and pulling and did everything except for beat him across the head. Our dear brother and longtime representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Brother Jamil, to just come back out and teach. And so by the grace of Allah, he has committed to do that.
All praises due to Allah.
So tonight, I'm in a hurry and I'm late. I need to join him on his show. So for those of you who want to tune in, the number is 857-232-0300. And the code for the program is 262-862. 262-862 is the pin code. Press the pound sign, and, of course, you can join us there. The lineup for tomorrow, join us for Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. with Brother Kareem. There is no mystery God will be the topic of discussion. On Tuesday, join us for a rebroadcast with Brother Jihad, who is doing well and on his way home. That will be at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, join us at 7 p.m. for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. And on Thursday, I'll be right back here with Student Minister Demetric and Brother Jamil, and, of course, Student Minister James and whoever else wants to join in with a discussion of the heart of Minister Farrakhan. We're talking to those who have worked closely with him so we can get a better personable knowledge of our beloved minister. And on Friday, we'll be joined by Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group, Put Off the New Man. And on Saturday, we're doing a special dedication to Sister Yatira and Brother Frank X, congratulating them on their engagement, and the subject matter will be When You Find That One. And of course, on Sunday, we'll be right back here with Brother Reginald. And Brother Reginald, you want to give us a sneak peek of the topic?
Yes, I'll be real quick. Theology and the educational paradigm, and we will be, and the topic will be Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam.
And there you have it. Okay, so I'm sorry I have to rush. I have to run, but thank all of you who joined us in the chat room. I have tried to answer all your questions in the chat room. I will continue that process tonight for those of you who did not get an answer by 63 of y'all, but I'll get you. Promise, words bond. So may Allah bless us all. May we all strive in the way of Allah, in God, in whatever way that you believe, but do something to uplift and help your people. As I leave you, as I came before you in our nation's greeting, words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.
Good night. Good night, brothers.